Live from the Great American Beer Festival and sponsored by Yard House Restaurants, this is the GABF Beer and Food Pavilion. Give it up, everybody. My name is Andy Sparhawk. I represent the Brewers Association, craftbeer.com, and on behalf of the BA and the GABF, we welcome you to the Mile High City. A couple quick notes. Obviously, this is the Beer and Food Pavilion. Don't eat your cheese until you're told. We're going to kind of follow along. Sir, you've already eaten it all? Oh, okay. All right, we're good. If you're seated in a seat, I can guarantee you cheese and beer. All you guys out at back, if you can find a seat, that would be great. I'll try to get you beer. But we got to focus on getting the people on the tables first, but we'll work with you. Thank you very much for your patience with that. Final note is that these are being recorded by craftbeer.com. Craftbeer.com, great consumer-facing website, has a great area on beer and cheese, and so that's what this is going to be about. Absolutely amazing resources, and then you can relive this recording if you are looking for some tips. So without further ado, I want to introduce our next seminar. It's called The Fermented Sisters, Science, Logic, Tools for Pairing Craft Beer and Cheese. And right here I have with me Sonny from Cypress Grove, Sebi Bueller, well-known Rogue Ales, a great beer and cheese and food supporter. And I got Dylan from Mad River Brewing Company. Please give it up.
Hey everybody, how you doing? Good. So tonight we're gonna do some cheese and some beer, and I was really happy to see it in the magazine today when I was flipping through the pages. You know, it's one of those things that you know it goes great together, and now people are actually recognizing it. We've got a booth out here. We're all the way from Arcata, California. Bringing our goat cheese out here. We've got the ACS, who's over in this corner, and they're doing cheese as well. So hopefully people are recognizing that beer and cheese are about perfectly matched as you can get. All those wine snobs and all that other stuff, this is where it's at. So anyway, we have very limited time on this. So what we're going to do is just jump right into the first one. Which is going to be Sebi with the hazelnut brown ale paired with Cypress Grove Midnight Moon. And what we're going to do is we want to make this more interactive for everybody. So Andy's actually going to be running around. If you've got a burning question for Andy or for us, just raise up your hand and he'll come over and let you talk on the mic. All right.
Hello, GABF. So we're going to talk beer and cheese. Cheese is the near-perfect food. All it's missing is some roughage, but beer is also a near-perfect food, and we're going to explore some of the flavors. One thing you should do is obviously smell your beer, but also pick up your piece of cheese, and the first cheese is going to be this Gouda or Gouda style. This is an aged goat cheese from Cypress Grove called Midnight Moon. And you want to smell it. You want to feel the texture of the cheese. Put it in your mouth and let it crumble up and mash it around. Play with your food. Kind of press it up against the top of your mouth. And you can smell it through your olfactors too. And then take a sip. The beer I selected for this is, anybody with nut allergies, do not drink this, all right? This is a hazelnut brown ale. Rogue's made this for 22 years. It's won GABF gold medal several times. It's just a beautiful brown ale that has a lot of the caramel and nut flavors that you're gonna taste in the cheese. The cheese has a very caramel flavor, very nutty flavor, and you're gonna get that from the toasted barley and the hazelnut flavoring in this beer. But the nice thing is that you've tasted the cheese first, you've let it work into your mouth and play around with your senses. And save a little bit of each of your beers to try with the other cheeses, because you might have seen in the program, there's a listing inside the GABF program on ideas for pairing beer and cheese, and they're great examples, but think outside the box. If you're having a blue cheese, try it with a wheat beer. You probably should have a stout with your blue cheese, but explore what you like for the flavors and the pairings and kind of go beyond the norm. But this is a really nice guide here. So I'm going to pass this on so we can move through the next beer and cheese pairing.
So a little bit about the Midnight Moon that you guys are trying. Like Sebi had said, it's a Gouda or a Gouda, however you want to pronounce it, Gouda, whatever. But it's all goat's milk cheese, which is, you know, basically all that we do. And this is from what's called an enzymatic process. And there's two types of processes in cheese making. So the first one that you tried is an enzymatic process, which means that you add something called rennet to make the curd solid and to create that cheese texture. The next two that we're going to be trying are actually what's called an acid ripen process. And then you'll also see the mold layer that's growing on the outside, which is actually a soft ripened. It's a mold that, you know, most brewers would be very scared of. It's a penicillium. And so that's what we use in our acid ripen process to give that cheese its kind of piquant flavor. So without further ado, unless anybody has any questions. No? No questions? One question.
What does the enzymatic process have to do with the type of flavor that you taste in your mouth there, as opposed to the acidic that you, or the other type? I don't know, sure what you said.
So the biggest thing with an enzymatic process is that you're looking at a cheese that's this actual cheese has been probably aged for about 8 months. Most of the acid ripened cheeses are only aged for maybe say 2 weeks to maybe a month. And the biggest difference is that what creates the cheese itself, in the enzymatic process, you're actually using the rennet to coagulate, whereas in the acid process, you're actually using acidification to create that texture. And it's going to be a much less firm. You're not going to get that kind of rubbery texture to it. And that's... Correct. Yeah. Exactly. As far as flavor, so with an acidic process, you're looking at a much lower pH. So it's going to be more lemony. It's going to have kind of that brighter citrus note to it. Whereas in the enzymatic process, you're going to find more of that kind of meaty, savory flavor to it. So. All right. So. Next up, we're going to do the barley wine. So one thing I want to say about the barley wine, because I don't think Dylan's going to say it, but this beer is not even out on the market yet. You guys are getting the first tasting of this gold medal GABF beer for this year.
All right. Thank you, Sonny. Thank you, Cypress Grove. Yes, as Sonny just said, John Barleycorn Barley Wine is a very iconic beer from Mad River Brewing Company. First brewed in 1991. The recipe changes slightly every year. And this particular edition is being released into markets this week. It won't hit the stores this weekend, so you're getting the first taste out of the public. So, And the cheese that we're pairing with tonight is the Truffle Tremor. It's a rich, nutty, rind-ripened cheese. Little earthy, umami, indeed. It's a very strong forward cheese, and so to stand up to it, you need a strong forward beer, and so that's where the barley wine comes in. And, you know, barley wines are tough to pair with cheeses, too. They're very strong, full-flavored, full-bodied beers. And so lots of malt backbone, a little bit of good bitterness to it. Anyway, so same thing. Take a little taste of cheese in your mouth. You know, rub it around your palate. Take a sip of the barley wine with it. Swirl it around. Taste the flavors together. And see how it melts. And as Semi was saying, there are many different cheeses out there, many different things that can pair with the beer. Other things that can pair with the barley wine really well is like a good Stilton, a good sharp aged cheddar. Those are really good cheeses to try out with it. Try with the other ones as well. It does go good with the Midnight Moon.
It's interesting how the rind is a different flavor than the body.
Yeah, and check the texture between, you know, the body of the cheese. It's a nice creamy softness. The rind, the mold on the outside is kind of sharp.
Right there.
And then that nice soft gooey layer in the, right the between, it's my favorite part. That is the good stuff. Yeah, that's all those flavors come together. As this cheese ripens over time, that gooey center creeps towards the middle. It just gets better and better.
Well, my first introduction was pretty rough. I got like...
If there's any questions about the cheese, Sonny can talk to you. Any questions about the barley one?
Which cheese are you referring to? This one or this one?
The truffle tremor, the one in the middle. Good. Anyone else? Any questions?
Where exactly is this cheese and beer coming from?
Good question. Both of these, John Barleycorn is brewed by Mad River Brewing Company in Blue Lake, California, and Cypress Grove Cheese is made in Arcata, California. We are very blessed. We're within 7 miles of each other, and so we're good partners. Exactly. In fact, before Sonny started over at Cypress Grove's Quality Control, he did a stint for about a year and a half brewing at Mad River. And so we go back a long way. It's a good partnership. I think we got another question here. No? On to the next. All right.
How are we doing on time? Oh. Question guy, over here.
So why would you pair a enzymatic cheese with a slightly darker beer? Or like, why would you pair, tell me the reason why you paired which beer with which.
So one of the big things with a barley wine is it's very complex. I think everybody in this room, hopefully, knows that a barley wine has a lot of flavor, a lot of hops, a lot of malt, a lot of alcohol. One of the good things about having an acidic cheese is it'll cut some of those flavors. And then if it cuts just perfectly, okay, it'll create this nice, just kind of complementary flavor in your mouth. And I think with me, you know, if you're drinking heavy beers all night, heavy beer after heavy beer, you know, your palate just, it wrecks it, you know, you're done. So to have a nice acidic cheese, but also has kind of that earthy flavor to it, I think is really important. And we've been doing the barley wine pairing for probably about 4 or 5 years. And it's just gone amazing. And, you know, we've done multiple events that people are just amazed at how well, you know, those two flavors meld together. And it's two very big flavors. You know, you're looking at barley wine and truffle. Truffle is a huge flavor, you know. And so it's really nice to have those two big flavors coming together in something that's really harmonic. Dig it. So, you guys are all right? Everybody else still out there? Still with me here? Good? Have we bored you to tears yet? You all right?
No.
Okay. So we're gonna finish up the last one, and this is gonna be the Humboldt Fog from Cypress Grove, which is kind of our flagship cheese. Again, it's a soft ripened. It's the acidic process for ripening of cheese, and what we're gonna pair that with is a really hoppy West Coast double IPA. And I know that's one of the big flavors that everybody's looking at now, but for some reason, and I remember when I was 21, I think, drinking Lagunitas IPA. Does anybody else remember that? And I believe, and sorry, Vinny, if you're out there anywhere, but I think that they really defined what an IPA is all about. And so tonight we're going to try the Maximus with the Humboldt Fog Grande. And again, just like the Truffle Tremor, this is an acid coagulated process for the curd, and it's also ripened with penicillium.
One thing you should consider when you're tasting beers and cheeses is to look for flavor hooks, the flavors that work together. And sometimes it's similar flavors in the beer and cheese, and sometimes it's very contrasting. And a lot of it's personal preference too, but think about the grassy notes in the cheese and the herbaceous flavors and the goat cheese, and there's just a synergy there that you can't find in wine. Goats don't, and cows and sheep don't eat grapes, they eat grass, and beer is brewed from grain. So there's a common thread between beer and cheese, and that is the grass, the grains. And wine just doesn't hold a candle to that.
So one of the things when I was up here, and I don't know if anybody else caught it, but the Maximus has kind of a sweet note to it. So if you've got any, hopefully you didn't eat it all, but if you've got any of the Midnight Moon left, give that a try. Because those residual sweetness from the beer, you're gonna be able to meld that really well with the hops and everything. And it almost tastes like a dessert. So, you know, this whole thing is a choose your own adventure, in my opinion. You know, everybody is gonna have a different view. Everybody is going to like a different thing, but you know, in the end, these two things are some great things that go really well together. So, looks like Dave has a question.
How are we doing on time?
So, in the rind, is that usually? In the rind, is that usually part of the flavor profile you're going for, and using that with the acidic cheeses?
Yeah, the big thing about the rind is, so just like in brewing with yeast, you've got yeast that are transforming the wort into beer or into alcohol and carbon dioxide, right? So with the cheese, This is actually a secondary ripening process. This would be like putting our cheese in a barrel, right? So you put it into a barrel of sorts, and what it tends to do is it creates this little layer, and hopefully everybody got kind of a rindy layer on their stuff, but you can see it. It's kind of, I don't know, gelatinous looking. Some of the cheeses that you get over from France, you'll actually cut them open and they'll just ooze out onto the plate. And that's all from this mold that's on the outside, this penicillium. So yes, it's a huge flavor contribution for the cheese. And it's very edible.
I'm sorry, I don't know a lot about cheese. So the penicillin, what kind of flavor does that add in your palate as opposed to a non-penicillin cheese?
So penicillium, there's two types. And I'm sure everybody's familiar with the two types. We've got the white type, which is on the Humboldt Fog. And that's called Penicillium candidum. And then there's also a blue cheese, which is Penicillium roqueforti. And those two are close cousins. One produces blue, one produces white. And basically what they're doing is, as they break down the cheese paste, they're creating all these flavors. So like with brie, you're familiar with brie, and with those types of cheese, that's what kind of gives you that piquant flavor. And if you try a little bit of the rind, or if you even smell a little bit of the rind, you'll get kind of that that ammonia aroma. Right? It smells like ammonia. When I first started working for Cypress Grove, I went into one of the ripening coolers and I'm like, oh my God, we've got an ammonia leak. How do we fix this? And it wasn't ammonia leak because we don't actually have ammonia. It was actually these guys that were producing ammonia as they were breaking down the cheese. It's just part of their biological process. So we burned through this really quick. Are there any other questions that are out there? I'm trying to stretch. Yes. Yes.
Hi, this is just a real practical question. I love experimenting with the beer and cheese. Let's say I'm having a holiday party. Should I direct my guests with their pairings or just give it a free-for-all? What are your recommendations?
I would say definitely direct them. You know, one of the things that we do a lot of is we try to give... You don't want to give people very strict parameters. You want to give them you want to give them an opinion. But there are certain things, and one of the things that you can do is you can go on our website and you can see what we've tried, and you can use that as kind of a guide of where you want to go. But yeah, you know, I think it always looks better when you have people come over and you're like, okay, I've got this cheese and this beer. This is kind of what I think goes well together. Try it. But also, you know, try other things. Because that's where you get the best feedback for anything.
And we're all different. So what you like is not what somebody else is going to like.
And something to really try. I mean, you know, wine is like you're looking for a compliment all the time. It's like with beer and cheese, you can look for complement or contrast. And it's fun to go either way. You can have something that really pairs, you know, just complements each other, or you can have something that totally clashes together, but that still works with that flavor hook. And so don't be afraid to, you know, put out multiple styles of cheese, multiple styles of beer, and play with that. You know, it's like have fun, you know. Yeah.
If you're serving a smoked beer, you don't have to serve a smoked cheese. Totally.
Quick question, right over here.
Woo-hoo.
All right. Where can I find Cypress Grove Creamery cheese? Where can I find that cheese?
Beer and cheese?
The cheese. Where can I find the cheese at?
So you can find it right over here. Or if you're talking stores, you can look in Whole Foods. They said something about... I'm sorry, I'm not a marketing guy. I apologize.
Is it nationwide?
Yes, it is nationwide, yes.
Nationwide.
Yeah. There's another question back here.
I just had a quick question. So does alcohol content, or what effect does alcohol content have?
That's you. We'll let her speak up a little bit more. Speak up a little.
What effect does alcohol content have on the beer that you're pairing it with, or does it have any effect? Like, if it's lower alcohol, do I do these types of cheeses? If it's higher alcohol, do I do these types?
So usually with alcohol content, you always have to watch the malt balance.
Gotcha.
So if it's really malty, like with the John Barleycorn, that's a very malty beer. So really what you're looking at there is what did the yeast not digest? So if you've got a lot of sweetness, you have to pair that with something that might be a little sweeter. And that's one of the things that I saw with the Maximus, is that you've got some residual sweetness there that didn't go all that well with Humboldt Fog. So it's, you know, and it is. Again, it's subjective. So you need to make sure that you keep an open mind. But you know, as far as the alcohol content, you can get some really, really nice beers that are high alcohol, but they're well attenuated. And if you have attenuation, that means dryness. So if you're pairing with a certain beer that's very dry, you're going to find that a nice acidic cheese will go really well with that. So,
besides your standard cheese and crackers and grapes and stuff on a cheese plate, what else would work as far as pairing with beer on that plate?
With the cheese?
Yeah, so besides crackers or something else, and you always see crackers and grapes on a plate. What else might look good on a plate that would also work with the beer?
There's a lot of fruits. I'm honestly, because fruits, we use fruits for wines, honey.
Chocolate, honey, figs, fruits, dates.
Breads are always really nice. You can, there's so many different kinds of breads that are out there, and you can pair a lot of stuff. And trust me, not every bread goes with a specific cheese or a specific beer. So you really have to experiment, in the most part. But there's also a nice section in the magazine that was handed out to everybody that goes through some really nice food pairings. Would you want to maybe pair with barbecue, or maybe you'd want to pair with pot roast, or, whatever it is. Those are all out there.
You find your flavor hooks, the flavors in both products that come together.
I am again curious about, why do you think beer is way different from wine in the way that it, wine is only need to be paired as far as its tasteability, where beers can be contrasting as, I'm sorry, what's your name? Dylan, okay. Why do you think that beer can be contrasting and still be a good complex of flavor?
Well, mainly just beer as being the versatile product that it is, and the variety that's out there, the complexities of it that are in the industry these days. And you can go out on the floor here right now and you can try any style of beer you can possibly imagine with any ingredient thrown in it you can possibly imagine. And there is something that will pair with it. Whereas if you, can you pair a red wine with a chili relleno? Can you pair a white, can you pair, what would you pair a white wine with? That's spicy or exotic, like Thai food. What are you going to do there? There's not much. But beer, there is a beer for every food, every cheese out there. Any dessert you can imagine, there is a beer for it. So explore, check it out, find out what you like, and go at it.
Why? Because beer is a grass product. It's from grain. And cheese is from grass. The cows eat the grass, make the milk. So your synergy is grain, which wine doesn't have. They have grapes. Yeah.
Which is why they're sisters.
And there's you know, one of the things about wine is it's very, I don't know if everybody agrees with me, but it's very tannic. It can have some astringency to it. And trying to pair with that is very difficult. And, you know, you have to be a really good sommelier or whatever it is, you know, 2 minutes. But you have to be really good at what you're doing to pair like that. So, and a lot of that stuff, I believe, is forced, you know, because this is the natural combination, I believe. Oh, we got a...
I think we got one last question over here.
We got one. Sorry.
So you guys were speaking about how cheese is grass-fed. So is the cheese flavor affected by what the goats eat or what season they're eating?
So one of the things about... Sorry, Seppi. But one of the things about goats is it's... Goats... They don't, they're actually browsers, so they don't do a whole lot of grazing. And what browsing means is that they need a lot of things in their environment to satiate what they need to grow. So aside from cows, where cows, you'll have a milk that might have kind of that grassy flavor if they're let out on grass. That carries through on the milk. Goats don't do that. They need a lot of other things. They need grain, and maybe if it's not grain, they need, you know, woody shrubs and things like that. So one of the things as far as goats are concerned is you're not going to pick up a lot of those flavors in the milk. Whereas with cows, you'll pick up some very distinct flavors of grass or whatever they've been eating. Typically, goats are fed alfalfa, and that's a very high nutrient content, and it's actually a legume. It's like a bean. It's not, you know, it's not grass. And one of the misconceptions is that goats cannot survive on grass. So they have to have a lot of different things, and they're much like a human being where they have to have all of these different inputs to keep themselves alive and to synthesize the things that they need to stay alive. So I know that's a long answer to your short question, but the milk is much more complex as far as, you know, what they produce, and so you're going to get a lot of different flavor combinations. And basically it's because of the neutrality of the milk. It doesn't have strong flavors either way. And that is actually another good way of pairing, because you get a goat cheese that's, you know, very neutral in flavor. It pairs with a lot of stuff. Some of the cow cheeses, not so much.
How are the pairings, everybody? Pretty good? Give it a round of applause. One more time for Dylan, Mad River Brewing Company, Blue Lake, California, Sebi Bueller, and Sonny from Cypress Grove.
Thank you guys for coming out. I appreciate you sitting through this.